Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Back to shows in which I can do a little bit better, excellently. On the Mark with Joe McGranahan and I arguing, and open phones and open emails and open texts pouring into the show, hopefully.
And it's election day in the 85th District for a special House seat election in Pennsylvania.
Polls opened at 7 a.m. They closed tonight at 8 o'clock. And listen to WKOK.com tonight to hear your vote count. Now, write-ins don't generally get tabulated night of, so might not be till tomorrow afternoon, Thursday, or whatever the official recount is, day that we have all the official results.
But they know how many write-in votes there are.
Right. So, oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and I think the computer counts the number of write-in votes that come
in. Just the total, not who they're for, just that they were write-in votes.
Oh, yeah, good point. Thank you. In Snyder County.
Could be Mickey Mouse, or it could be Claire Moyer.
Okay. And there's probably somebody there who says they're interchangeable.
Well, I don't think so.
Well, somebody, I'm sure.
I don't think Mickey Mouse lives in the 85th District.
For every good political supporter out there, there's a political opponent of everybody, whether it's Dr. Jennifer Rieger Kay or David Rowe or Claire Moyer or Mickey Mouse. Mickey Mouse has some enemies out there. He's irritated some other characters over the years.
I think you're thinking more of Bugs Bunny. Bugs Bunny irritates people. Mickey Mouse loves everybody.
I don't know. Minnie's not smiling.
Oh, right. Well,
the one picture.
She wanted a new dress, and he wouldn't buy it.
Oh, okay. Oh, boy. That's very sexist. She can buy her own dresses whenever she wants to. She has her own income. She doesn't need Mickey's permission. Come on, Joe.
No, I didn't say she needed his permission. I said he didn't buy her a dress.
No, he was going to buy it. It's supposed to be a gift. I got you. Okay, nice save, I guess. All right, well, we have one email pending from yesterday's discussion. We did have the 85th District State House candidates there, and they talked about minimum wage afterwards. We have even had even more discussions. So we can continue to talk about the minimum wage. We are not the effectors of that. You could either check the federal government or your state government as individuals who can change the minimum wage. It's not as big of a factor these days when you have a booming economy and a very low unemployment, but it is still a factor in some individuals' lives. There are still some folks out there who say they currently earn the minimum wage and they would like that minimum wage to be a higher number. So that number popped up yesterday. We had the three candidates here talking about state issues, legalizing pot. I didn't see any votes pop up for legalizing pot, so maybe...
What surprised me is there were no votes for the building of the Susquehanna Valley Thruway project if it involved raising taxes.
Well, you have to remember, though, the good caveat, and this was a good question you asked, the caveat was, would you raise taxes for the CSVT? But included in that was some element of what state government's already doing. So each of the candidates seem to say that, you know, there's got to be money to save elsewhere.
Everybody has said that for years, but nobody ever came up with it to build the thruway until Governor Corbett took the bold step, along with our State House and Senate members at the time, of taking the cap off the oil franchise tax and letting it float, never be enacted. And if you have to look at the value you get, we're getting value. I mean, everybody's complaining about, you know, the Northumberland project. People are complaining about the disruption for the thruway causing a traffic. But without that money, these things wouldn't be built. And yes, they are inconvenient from time to time now. But once they are built and providing a better transportation base for our area, I hope people would look back and say it was worth the cost.
Mm-hmm.
I hope and pray they do.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, yeah, to say that you automatically wouldn't vote, I mean, I guess that's the political part of all three of our people who were here yesterday. I wouldn't support taxes. I support cutting waste.
Right. Okay.
And we all support cutting waste, but, you know, sometimes if you can't do that, if you can't get agreement on how to cut cut that waste, but you can get agreement on a slight bump in the revenue side to produce the kind of results we're seeing across Pennsylvania, which has been heralded as one of the worst states in the nation for bad roads. Now we're getting something done about it. Deficient bridges are being fixed. The state had the rapid bridge replacement program in effect that just replaced hundreds of bridges all over Pennsylvania and upgraded them and fixed them, several in our own area.
Well, and I'm not a huge CSVT supporter because so much private land is being taken, and I think that's a terrible outcome for those individuals if there were to be some other way to make the corridor flow smoothly through here. But
there was, but we couldn't go through the ash basins.
Right, okay. So I think I recognize the fact that in the years ahead, this gridlock on 11 and 15 is going to get worse. So eventually you would have had to do just a center line up the middle with jug handles to get to the other side of the highway. So, you know, do you want
that? Would have been tearing down a lot of property on the strip.
Well, but yeah, potentially, right. So there's just no outcome. And the dilemma that is getting worse each year is the traffic volume gets higher and higher and higher as our rural area urbanizes, and the more we build.
And it's projected at some point to reach the same levels of traffic as the Schuylkill Valley Expressway.
The Schuylkill Expressway.
Schuylkill, yeah. I'm sorry.
Going into
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia, 76. Okay.
So, I mean, we had to do something about it, and I will give Governor Corbett a great deal of credit for being willing to bite that bullet. And certainly at the time, Senator Gordner, Senator Yaw, Representative Culver, Representative Keller, Representative Garth Everett, and Representative Kurt Mosser all voted in favor of it, all Republicans, all anti-tax people, but yet looking at the need and saying the need outweighs this particular, you know, this particular instance of not wanting to raise taxes.
So they took the bold risk of raising taxes.
Well, not raising taxes, a tax.
Right, right, a particular tax. But
right.
It added to Pennsylvania's already exorbitantly high gasoline tax.
Brother.
For a highway we don't need. We don't need more highway miles. We can't maintain the one we have.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to strap
it.
You to the front of the bumper of the first car that runs through the new bypass so you can get a first-hand look up close and personal at what it means.
Okay. And what it means to you. All right, 1-800-799.
Unfortunately, I may not be here for that.
You'll be here. Don't be silly. You're only, what, 76? Oh, my gosh. You got at least 10 good years and 10 declining years left, so get excited. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795. Joe's still thinking about his declining years.
Yeah,
1-800-795.
Some would argue I'm already in them.
Well, yeah, there is that. Well, cognitively, you're still sharp, right? Do you enjoy any cognitive decline?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, well, you'd know it if you did. 1-800-795.
No, you'd know it if I did.
Well,
you talk to me every day.
Hear me. I never had any to start with. It'd be difficult to detect decline starting at such a low base. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. The open phones. We're talking about the CSVT and the gas tax at the moment. But we did have the three candidates for State House. So, we got one note in the newsroom. A newsroom says that this individual said there were actually four or five write-in candidates. There are others.
Okay.
They never made their presence known to us. They may be at the polls tomorrow or today with their notes
really?
And so on. Yeah. So
who?
Didn't say. But it just says, you know, why aren't you interviewing the other write-in candidates?
I don't recall any announcements of any other write-in candidates.
There are no announced. I mean, I certainly do check the daily item in a cursory fashion every day. And, of course, I see half the emails that come into the newsroom. I did not see it there. So, all right. You can email us at onthemarket@wkok.com, as Jordy Comas has done. We have that email pending about minimum wage. You can text us at 70236 if you wish. We'd love to hear from you. And On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, and that's a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummelsworth. Find them at sunburymotors.com. We have a caller standing by because I wisely said we don't need the CSVT, unnecessary highway miles, more pollution in our area, and the gas tax had to go up. Tom used that opportunity to agree with me, no doubt. Good morning, Tom. You're on the mark.
No, I just want to give some people a website they can go to on Facebook. I guess I don't know if it's a website, but there's a thing on Facebook. It's called Brian's Susquehanna Thruway Project. And this guy has one of those, I don't know what you call it. It's like a kite,
ultralight.
But it has a motor on it.
It's ultralight.
Is that what it is? I don't know what it is.
Yep.
But anyway, he's got a site on Facebook, and he goes up every week, and he flies over the whole thing, and he takes pictures, takes a video, and you can watch the update. You can watch the project, you know, progressing every week. He goes up every week and takes a movie.
Okay, so you can watch the progress of this.
They're quite good too. The quality's excellent, and it's worth seeing.
Oh, Joe already knows about it.
I've seen. Well, he's not the only one. There's some other people who've done the same thing. Some with drones. I think there's at least two ultralight videos that I've seen, and a couple of drones.
Okay,
but they're all good.
That's all I wanted to say.
Thank you.
I usually watch it every week. Pretty interesting.
Well, does he have it? Does he post on a particular day, Tom? I'm not.
I think he posts on Sunday.
Sunday, okay.
Because the last Sunday, the one Sunday I went up, it was at like 6 o'clock or something like that, and it said it was 37 minutes ago or something that he put it up.
Okay. I'll have to check on Sunday afternoons, make sure I see it.
All right, thank you so much, Tom.
It's on Facebook.
Right. Thanks for the information, sir. Appreciate it.
Right.
Take care, Tom.
All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our email. You can.
No, that's our phone number.
Oh, thank you. 1-800-795-9565.
Are you having cognitive issues?
Definitely. I readily admit it. It should be plainly obvious to anyone who's ever known me or listened to me or even just met me. So I have my denial would be ineffective. I've declined so far, I can't even deny it. We are going to take a quickie break. On the Mark is brought to you by the Sunbury Motor Company. As I mentioned, they are a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Please find out more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. Now, I haven't been to the Quick Lane in almost 6 days. I got our good tires repumped up with nitrogen here, and they're good to go. Annually, you got to do that. The nitrogen does leak out one molecule every 2 weeks, so at the end of the year, you're down 1 pound, so you got to put it back on to get it to the ideal level. But I'll tell you what, the less leaks out during the year, the summer, winter change in tire pressure is significantly less. Your tires will last longer. The ride is better. It's like the old radial tires that used to really hug the road. That's what it's like on nitrogen. So check it out. Sunbury Motor Company. You can get it at the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. You do pay a small fee for that, but it's free when you buy a set of 4 tires from there. You can get yourself pumped up with nitrogen for free. Quick Lane, Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Please check out the Quick Lane. You can make an appointment at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Joe's thinking about something else for a moment here while we get started. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, so we do appreciate them. Bobby, thanks for waiting a short time through the first break of the day. You're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm going to have to, I'm going to say, agree with Joe. You know, we should be thankful for the highway projects that have been completed, you know, due to you know, certain time limits for for allocations for funding, but also when it comes to trucking and comes to the I'm going to say the industries that rely on major highways and that to to distribute products in that 24 hours a day. I mean, you know, especially with the size of the vehicles and everything else that have, you know, taken into consideration. Of course, the roads around Sunbury, of course, I grew up around Sunbury and that, and of course, we're along the river, so we can only go so far along the river. So in the meantime, you have to get from site A to site B. And yes.
So I should be happy that Orange Street traffic plus Route 11 South traffic plus Route 147 North traffic is going to be going in front of my house, right?
Yes.
No, I don't think so. All right.
Maybe we can bring the Millersburg Ferry up here, and then you wouldn't have to have any bridges across the river.
Yes. You know, of course, there's not as much public transportation as there used to be, and that so there's more dependency on the highways.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Yeah, thank you very much. Eric is next. Thanks for waiting, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call. Proud Snyder County Democrat, Chuckie.
Yay!
One who is refusing to go to the polls, however, gentlemen. I refuse to drive to the polls today.
Oh, yeah? Why?
Because I don't have a place to vote. Because of the redistricting, I'm no longer part of the 85th District. And now, how ridiculous is this gerrymandering that... a district I was part of my entire adult life up until, 2 years, maybe 3 years ago. So I can't go vote today because I've been yanked out of the 85th district and pushed across the river where many good people are, but with total different, interests than I have in a lot of ways. How can you split a school district? How can you split a county as small as Snyder County into two different districts? It makes no sense. It's pure gerrymandering. It's purely a fact that Snyder County is one of the reddest counties probably in the country.
Eric,
and
what,
they need
Eric,
some,
what district
some
are you
good
in?
Red over in possibly
Eric,
blue.
Eric,
Northumberland
stop.
County.
Eric, what district are you in now?
I don't even know. okay. Colbert is my representative.
All right, well, then you're in the 100.
I'm fighting, and I do vote.
You're in the 100.
I do vote every election. But today I can't vote because... I'm no longer in 85th district.
Eric, are you sure about that? You're in Port Treverton, according to what...
Correct. Union and Chapman Townships are across the river in Miss Culver's district.
Right, but Sealands Grove is in the 85th.
Well, he's not in Sealands Grove. He lives in Port
Treverton. No, but what sense does it make?
The townships are not in.
No,
right,
but
why would
you put Sealands Grove in the 85th and then something south of Sealands Grove in the 108th? That doesn't make a lot of sense. I agree with you.
That's exactly what my point is.
Yeah, gerrymandering,
but that
Joe.
That was done by the Supreme Court. Didn't they redo the districts? Oh, those were congressional districts.
Those were congressional districts.
Yeah,
no.
You're right. Okay. Well, that really is weird. I would have bet my bottom dollar that you were in the 85th.
And we were until maybe two elections ago. And the reason I found out is all of a sudden we saw posters for Ms. Culver to elect. Now, what's this all about? That's when I found out that no longer was Fred Keller our representative, nor could we vote for or against him. And hence, we are, does it make sense to you? It does make absolutely no sense.
I agree. It doesn't make a lot of sense.
Well, the good news is Linda Schlegel-Culver is your House member, so you can do a lot worse.
She does a fine job, but when it comes to the direct issues affecting Snyder County, I have no representation down in Harrisburg.
But we're in the same boat in Shamokin Dam. We're in the 108th. We're in Representative Culver's district. And
doesn't make sense to me either, but it makes a lot more sense than it does for Chapman Township and Union Township to be with Sealands Grove in between in the other district.
Well, that I agree with you on. I can't argue that at all.
Yeah,
should
be.
That's
astounding. If you have to leave Snyder County, it should be in Harris's old district down there. But
I think there should be some sort of legislation to look at closely. And I understand that the state gets divided up. I understand that. But to divide a rural county like Snyder with its relatively small population, but then cut, in addition to that, cut school district? You know, because there are issues that can affect, funding for school districts or issues related to a district such as Sealands Grove versus a district such as Chickalemme, which are different issues.
Well, districts are carved up. School districts are carved up all the time. There's 500 of them in the state, so that just have to be divided.
Which goes to my point that it should be relatively easy to make sure that a school district remains together, that it's not split apart.
What's
the only reason I know that they could split us apart is that Northumberland was coming a little more Democratic, and they need some good red over in that blue, and that's what they did. And it makes no sense at all. And well, I'm upset today because I can't vote.
Years ago, Snyder, Union, and Northumberland County were split up into three different congressional districts. We tried to change that at the Chamber of Commerce, and we succeeded. For one period of time, we had all three counties in the same district. But they used to give us the argument, well, you're even better off because you have three congressmen working for you. But the truth was, we were a very small percentage of any one congressman's district. When we all got together in one district, then we really had some clout. So I agree with you completely.
All right, thank you so much, Eric. Thanks
for the thank you for hearing my rant.
Well, let me make you feel better. If you were able to vote today, who would you vote for? I don't have to guess. You said you were a good and loyal Democrat, so I know.
And I can't tell you how angry I am over this whole process going back to the federal election. For him to go through the process, bankrupt the Democratic candidate, to turn around and hand it to Mr. Keller to walk into the federal district, same way the good doctor now has to try to come up with more money again to take the fight. And I hope she wins today. And I encourage everyone in the 85th district, you lucky people, to get out and vote and vote your conscience, but think.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it as always. Yeah.
If we see somebody hanging out in front of one of the polls in the 85th district looking forlorn, we'll know it's Eric.
He looks have a sad emoticon on his face. Well, that's a pickle. Yeah, I think that is what's happening. Northumberland County was becoming more Democratic, and so therefore they had to get some solid red folks over in that county. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. There have been some polling changes, too, so you got to pay attention to your local newspaper, Snyder County Times, Daily Item, Lewisburg Standard Journal. Make sure you got the location for polling places because there are some changes for this special election.
So we could have people wandering around looking for a place to vote.
You could. Well, plus you have people in Northumberland County. I had a few people say to me yesterday, we're going to vote tomorrow.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, well,
you're going to get in a heap of trouble.
you won't get any trouble. You can't cast a vote you don't get a chance to.
Well, there is
you're
a
not in
you're
the
right.
district.
There's a possibility people will show up at their regular polling places for districts in which they're not voting today.
Right, because we've talked about it so much, and some folks kind of don't assimilate this. And Claire Moyer said there's a lot of people that he's, even though he's had publicity on social media and in the newspaper and on the radio, he's still talking to people in parts of the county who didn't know he was running. So didn't know there were any write-in candidates. So, the election's not getting sort of saturative coverage. But there are signs all over. If you're in the district, of course, you live in the district, there are a lot of signs out. That's right, you're carved out, too. That's right, you're one of the carve-outs.
That's right. Shamokin Dam has bounced back and forth over the years. There are times we've been in the district with Sealands Grove and times we have not been.
Okay.
So,
well, at least
now we're not.
At least you're tied by a bridge.
Right. Well, you know,
poor Eric has to swim across.
Well, I mean, you know, it's hard to say. We have a lot of community of interest with Sunbury. Our police back each other up. Our fire companies back each other up. Our ambulance service comes from Sunbury. So, you know, to be in the district with them makes a great deal of sense for us. Sealands Grove's a little further away. Now, we back up Sealands Grove's police. They back us up, and our fire departments go there. But it's a 6-mile run or a 4-mile run into Sealands Grove. It's only across the bridge to Sunbury.
Okay. Well, we invite folks to call in. We're just general observations about the 85th District. One of our listeners says Market Street in East Buffalo Township is down to one lane with flaggers from 16th Street to Fairground Road. So give yourself extra time to get to your polling place today, says Ben. So thank you for that. We are going to hopefully enjoy open phones during the 9 a.m. hour. We'll have the CBS News, then we will check some news headlines, and we'll open up the phone lines.
And we have an interesting article here that I thought you might like. John Stossel, you either love him or hate him, but he's a very, I guess what you would call a libertarian with respect to funding and expenditures. But he did a very interesting report on the headline is John Stossel, Warren, Bernie, Biden, Trump all want to have free stuff. Here's what we discovered. So he did an analysis of what all the candidates, the major candidates, are proposing in terms of expenditures, what the cost would be, and how practical it is. Fascinating article.
Okay.
And there's a new poll out today from CNN that shows that Joe Biden now has almost a double the amount of support as he does have almost. He's got 29%. Bernie Sanders has 15%. And Elizabeth Warren has 14%. So he's got double what Warren has, almost double what Bernie Sanders has.
And that's a bigger lead for him.
Right. And his wife says, I love this. Joe Biden's wife is saying to the voters, you may have to swallow a little bit with my husband so we can beat Trump. So in effect saying, hold your nose, vote for my husband, and we'll win.
Hold your nose.
It's hard to say. This is a wild political season, brother, let me tell you.
It's just hard to believe a milquetoast candidate like Joe Biden is going to unseat a firebrand Republican like Donald Trump.
Well, you know, I always remember Warren G. Harding. He ran on a platform of a return to normalcy. That was his campaign slogan.
Oh, brother.
You know, he wanted to go back to the way things were before, quieter time. And, of course, we'd just come out of the First World War, and we had all the upheaval with President Wilson trying to get us into the League of Nations and the Senate voting no. So his whole philosophy was we need not nostrums, but normalcy.
No nostrums. Okay. Fewer nostrums. Out of the nose of babes comes words like that. Thank you so much. Joe McGranahan is the co-host. I am Mark Lawrence, super sharp as ever on my game today. So call in and ask me a question. I know everything. And Mr. Rob Center, are you okay, buddy?
No, I'm just astounded by your assertion.
This is WKOK Sunbury, 9 a.m.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show, On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe is here. Mr. Rob is on the other side of the glass. Mr. Matt's in the newsroom keeping us informed about any traffic anomalies or anything else you need to know. It is August 20th, 2019. That means it is special election day for individuals in the 85th district. That includes portions of Snyder County and all of Union County. It's an opportunity for those individuals to go to the polls and pick who they wish to replace Fred Keller, who's now a U.S. congressman. So the 85th district election polls are open. We invite you to stay tuned to WDKOK.com tonight. We'll have information posted at WDKOK.com on our website, and we will have some recorded reports when the results are in. So, you know, maybe 10 p.m., 11 p.m., something in that range. We'll have some election results tonight. Right-hands are always a wild card when you're doing election results, but hopefully we'll be able to find out who the winner is tonight. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com or text us at 70236. The three candidates in the 85th District special election Tuesday were on WKOK's On the Mark program Monday morning. Hope you caught it. Democratic candidate Dr. Jennifer Rager Kay.
I am tired of typical partisan politics, and I think we should put people first. I think it's important to understand the issues that are laid before us and who is going to best represent those interests.
Independent writing candidate Claire Moyer says he will have an open-door policy with his constituents.
I want to enable the public to have a choice between candidates, not parties. I'm a candidate that is honest and will not accept payment for favors surrounding any legislative issue. I believe in having an open-door policy so that constituents can come to me with their concerns and issues, and I will accept any solution that will offer a starting foundation to solve problems.
And Republican candidate David Rowe says he's a proven conservative.
I'm a proven conservative who believes in low taxes, smaller government, and pro-growth policies that will create family-sustaining jobs. I've been endorsed by the Pennsylvania Pro-Life Federation, the Pennsylvania Realtors Association, the Pro-Second Amendment, Firearm Owners Against Crime, and the Chamber of Commerce.
special election in the 85th District is today. You can hear the entire discussion on WDKOK's podcast page. Turned out it was a Northumberland County man who drowned in the Susquehanna River Sunday. 19-year-old Dante Glasper, who has resided in Milton and Mount Carmel, drowned accidentally, according to the county coroner, James Kelly. Kelly says Glasper was pronounced dead by a deputy coroner on 7:40 p.m. Sunday evening. Witnesses say he and others were swimming at the old Sea Scout dock near Pine Nutter Park when Glasper jumped in, struggled, but did not resurface. Incident started around 4:30 p.m. His body found around 7:30 p.m. Numerous first responders were there. Volunteer rescue, boat, and diving crews were present at that incident. A federal judge in Philadelphia is weighing whether or not to approve the nation's first supervised drug injection center. U.S. Attorney William McSwain opposes the plan. The appointee of President Donald Trump says it violates federal laws. Safe House supporters, including three prominent Democrats in Philadelphia, the mayor, Jim Kenney, the district attorney, Larry Krasner, and former Governor Ed Rendell, believe they can reduce overdose deaths by having people use drugs under medical supervision. Philadelphia had 1,100 overdose deaths last year, more than three times the number of homicides. U.S. District Judge Gerald McHugh Jr. must decide whether to let the site open. He did not indicate when he might rule on that. And the governor of Texas is bringing Google, Facebook, and Twitter to the table in the wake of the mass shooting in El Paso that left 22 people dead. Republican Governor Greg Abbott announced Monday that the tech giants will join the FBI and state lawmakers for discussions this week on combating hateful ideologies, domestic terrorism, and cybersecurity threats. Abbott spokesman John Whitman said the companies were invited to offer insights. Authorities say the suspected El Paso gunman confessed to targeting Mexicans during the August 3rd attack at a Walmart. They also believe the 21-year-old Patrick Cerusis posted a racist screed online shortly before opening fire. Abbott called for cracking down on internet sites used by violent extremists after the shooting in the mostly Latino border city in Texas. So getting social media to help out somehow. We'll see. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Thank you, them. SunburyMotors.com. Our toll-free line now open, 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. There we go. And you can text us at 70236. Where are we headed, sir?
Well, we have one call waiting and one coming in, so we'll take the one from Taylor. You're on the mark.
Taylor, go right ahead. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, guys. How are y'all doing?
Hanging in.
Great. Well, I just got back from my polling place, and I proudly cast my vote for Dr. Jen. I think she could scrap this one out. I think she's a much better fit for the district. You know, she's pretty moderate, and I think what's honestly most important to me is that I really get the impression that she's going to listen to all people, regardless of their party. I don't get that impression for Mr. Rowe. You know, I'll just cite one example. When he was talking about the minimum wage on your program earlier, he said that it was something that it was mostly teenagers that earned, but that's just not true. That's an alternative fact, as they say. The truth of the matter is that about 30% of all wage earners earn the minimum wage, or about that. And so it's not just teenagers, and the fact that he's willing to put ideology before facts just really, really alarms me. So I think Jen's a much better fit for the district, and I don't know. I'm really excited and kind of hopeful about this one.
Well, and maybe the Republicans will split their votes up and letting Jen a clear path to victory, as they say.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll know around 8:30 or 9 tonight, I guess.
Well, we'll get partial results then. That's when we start to find out how some of the precincts voted. Then we'll have full results, certainly within the hour, you would hope anyway. But the write-ins are often unknown. It can be tallied. Your electronic voting machines will tell us how many write-in votes were cast, but they don't say who they are. So maybe you need to be at the courthouse or wherever the election is tabulated in Union County. So we're not sure.
I know Snyder County still does paper ballots, so I know the write-ins there might be until the next day or two that that we get the full results.
You might be interested.
So we'll keep our fingers crossed.
You might be interested in this number. I just looked up the Bureau of Labor Statistics. In 2017, 80.4 million workers aged 16 years of old or older in the United States were paid at hourly rates, representing 58.3% of all wage and salary workers. Among those paid by the hour, only 542,000 workers earned exactly the prevailing federal minimum wage. So it's not a very large percentage. And that's from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
Those are alternative facts,
too. Those numbers add up. And, you know, the minimum wage, you should be able to work 40 hours and, you know, be able to pay for your house and medical care and food, be able to put food on the table. You know, that should what the minimum should provide. And the studies show time and time again that if you boost the minimum wage, the economy grows and wages improve and we get a better economy. And I know David Rose cited one statistic or one study, but Jordy called in yesterday with a study that surveyed over 100 minimum wage studies and found that on average, over time, the economy improves and people do better. And we all do better when we all do better.
Okay.
Oh, I like that. Well, I'm going to use that phrase.
I think that's a rip-off of a rising tide raises all boats.
I don't think it's a rip-off.
Well, you know, actually, you know who I ripped it off from? You know the former Senator Paul Wellstone from Minnesota?
Oh. I've heard the name, yes.
Okay.
I didn't know him.
He was senator from, 1990 to 2002 and died in a tragic plane crash, 10 days before his re-election.
Oh, okay.
He always said, we all do better when we all do better, and I really like that.
Yeah,
right.
That's a good one. Thank you.
Goodie. All right. Thank
Appreciate
you so
your
much,
call.
Taylor.
Take care,
thanks
Taylor.
For being a
oh,
good...
Oh, my pleasure. Have a nice day, y'all.
Thanks
Take
for
care.
Being a good young activist.
And glad you went out and
that.
Voted. Hope everybody goes out and votes today, one way or the other, no matter who you're voting for. Go vote if you're in the 85th district.
One of our listeners has a correction.
I wondered who he was thinking. He was thinking about a Snyder County commissioner when he wrote this, but we got the correction, and we'll read it as corrected. Good morning. It was sad to hear that Northumberland County has more Republicans in it. Republicans love to raise taxes and spend. I am a proud Democrat who believes that you don't spend more money than you have. Good luck, Jen. Get out and vote or shut up. Signed, thanks, Bob.
Right. You can't complain if you don't vote, as they say.
And he's got a very good point there. If you don't complain about what happens if you don't go out and vote.
Another listener sends us a note saying not all of Union County is in the 85th district. Yeah, I thought it all was, but it is not.
Some of it's to the north in Lycoming, isn't it, with Lycoming County?
I guess. I don't know. So, that would make sense. Or you're in Garth Everett's district, right, across the river.
Right, up in that neck of the woods. And then Bob sends us another one, says, hello, I would like to let everyone know minimum wage is next to welfare. It needs to be raised now. If a family only earns minimum wage, they are also getting welfare. Signed, Bob. Right, but as the Bureau of Labor Statistics study shows...
Yeah, read those again so folks get the context.
In 2017, 80.4 million workers aged 16 and older in the United States were paid at hourly rates, representing 58.3% of all wage and salary workers. Among those paid by the hour, only 542,000 workers earned exactly the prevailing federal minimum wage of $7.25 per hour. And I think such a small number, such a small percentage of the 80.4 million workers 16 and older who are paid hourly rates, I think it shows that the marketplace is raising the hourly rate simply because people have more options. And that's the way it should work, I think.
Well, and it works certainly in a booming economy. The market will do that. But what about when the
economy... Don't look now, brother. The economy's booming.
Right. No argument there. This was a CBS headline. Talk about biased media. This is just an aside, but I promise you I'll get back to minimum wage. CBS had a headline yesterday that said one-third of economists say recession is imminent. It's like the whole story was written like gloom and doom, we're going to die. One-third of these economists said that, a recession, I think, by 2021.
One-third or two-thirds?
One-third. Two-thirds say it should be satisfactory for the next 2 years.
All right. Well,
so, I thought, isn't that funny? But anyway, okay, so that's
I always
that's
remember what Harry Truman
bias
said.
In the headline.
Harry Truman used to say, every time I talk to economists, I get on the one hand it's this, on the other hand it's that. He said, what I need is a blank, blank, one-handed economist.
Oh, only has one hand.
Right.
All right, so anyway, so 542,000 individuals earned the minimum wage in 2017 out of the, what, 84 million who are earning an hourly rate of some kind or so.
But, and by the way, that 80.4 million represents 58.3% of the total workforce. But out of that, out of the total workforce, that. So you can see, if you break that down, it's a very small percentage of people who actually earn minimum wage. And again, this is from the Bureau of Labor Statistics.
All right. And in a booming economy, that's in 2017 would qualify as that. That's important because the marketplace has taken wages up. But what about when the economy is flat and the number of individuals who are earning the minimum wage is much greater?
But I think that's not relevant to the point.
Okay.
The point is that it's a political season, and what do you do to get votes? You give people stuff, and that's the point of John Stossel's article about all the things that politicians are promising. So it's easy for me to say, I want to give you a raise. I want you to make more money than you make now. Well, who isn't going to be in favor of that? You call to me and say, gee, but, you know, the other side of the minimum wage argument is that if you're making $7.25 an hour and suddenly you go to $15 an hour, the people who make somewhere between $7.25 and $15 now want to raise because otherwise they've fallen behind.
So that helps everybody.
How?
Because
what if they don't
wage,
get that raise?
Well,
then they're now the new poor.
Well, they're not poor. They're going to have to live on what that good wage is and ask their boss for a raise, and it'll cost companies, but probably cut into profits.
I think we should,
but it's a fair. It's an issue of fairness.
We should end the argument, and if we're going to have a national minimum wage, we should decide what it is and then peg the change in it to the rise in inflation.
Right. Everybody says that, but nobody.
But nobody
do
does it. So I mean, that's what's fair. But anyhow, getting back to John Stossel, he says, never before have presidential candidates offered voters so much free stuff. Senator Kamala Harris of California wants you to collect up to $500 a month. Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat from Massachusetts, says we need to go tenfold in our research and development in green energy. No one has tracked the cost of all the promises, so John Stossel's video team did. Who will spend the most? Here are the new spending proposals from the five most popular, according to the Election Betting Odds Committee. Candidates. Former Vice President Joe Biden wants to triple the amount of money we spend for Title I schools. That would be $32 billion. Create a universal pre-K, $26 billion. Provide free community college, $6 billion per year. And double the number of psychologists and social workers in schools, $14 billion. So Joe Biden is proposing $78 billion in total increases off the bat. That's a lot, but much less than what Kamala Harris would spend.
Kamala
Harris. She, too, wants to make community college free, $6 billion, but she'd add debt-free four-year public college, $80.1 billion, increase government's investment in child care dramatically, $60 billion, give the average public school teacher a $13,000 raise, $31.5 billion, for a total of $177 billion. She makes Biden look like a pike. South Bend, Indiana, Mayor Pete Buttigieg rarely says what his proposals would cost, but he at least seems to want to spend less than Harris. He touts free college for low and middle income students and would give teachers more money, assuming his plan is like the one Harris proposed. That brings his education total to $87 billion. Elizabeth Warren now would spend much more. You'll be debt free, she tells students. Taxpayers, unfortunately, will be deeper in debt, since she would forgive most existing student debt and make public college tuition free. That's $125 billion. She also wants a Universal Child Care and Early Learning Act, $70 billion. And these big-ticket items put her in first place so far. But wait, Bernie Sanders wants to spend even more.
I got to stop you there. We got Buzz on the line, and he's always in a hurry. Go ahead, Buzz. You got a red carpet.
I'm always in a hurry because I'm really old and I'm running out of time.
His clock is running.
Welcome to the club.
You know, talking about all these candidates and stuff, I just wondered what we were getting for the $4.1 trillion increase in the national debt that your President Trump has given us. What have we gotten for that?
Not enough.
Military. I know that.
I understand from this morning I was reading that we're rich and the consumers are, you know, our huge tax cut and keep looking around. I haven't seen anybody that's benefiting from that yet. I keep hearing about this huge tax cut.
You can find people that benefited from the tax cut. You just have to ask middle-class people about it. But you wouldn't feel it because you're retired.
Yeah, well...
Poor guy.
I don't know. I'm having a little trouble with this promise to erase the national debt, and now it's almost doubled. So we'll talk about what people are being promised. I just wanted to bring that up.
That's a good point.
Thank you.
If you're a Trump supporter, you write off the fact that his personal behavior is abhorrent and that the national debt is doubling and redoubling. So, but that's
he wants to
the
give
price
away.
For progress.
He's on this list, too, of people who want to hand out some more free
President
stuff.
Trump?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
So,
well, we'll get to that in a moment. Let's take a quickie break. We would invite comers. We are talking about the free spending that the people running for president, including the president, would have. And John Stossel, strangely enough, ultra-conservative, sometimes irrational, science-based guy, has got a good list going here. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. I got to tell our audience, I just witnessed Joe's version of the Rosemary Stretch. His right hand over on the mute button on his microphone swung all the way around, and his left hand with his hanky sneezing, and you didn't get to hear it, folks, but I got to see it, so that was worth it. We'll be back. Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Beatles, I believe, would be our good bumper music here. We thank...
Call the exterminator. We don't need Beatles in the studio.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay. we have one line has rung, and our good producer is talking to that individual, and we'll take more comers.
We can briefly finish this before we get a call.
Oh, yeah, please do. This is John Stossel.
Yeah, Bernie Sanders would completely eliminate student debt, make public college and universities tuition free, and provide universal daycare. Universal daycare and pre-K, that totals $280 billion. So Sanders wins in educational spending. And President Trump, who says America will never be a socialist country, hasn't been a responsible spender either. Since he took office, spending increased about $500 billion per year. He did propose some cuts, but when Congress ignored his cuts and increased spending, he signed the bills anyway. Now he says he'd spend even more, $200 billion a year for infrastructure, $8.6 billion for the border wall, $1.6 billion more for NASA funding, and on, for a total of $267 billion.
Wow, is that the high, or is Bernie Sanders higher?
While Trump's $267 billion is bad, the Democrats' plans are worse. We counted $297 billion proposed by Biden, $690 billion by Buttigieg, $3.8 trillion by Warren, $4 trillion by Sanders, $4.3 trillion from Harris. That would double the entire federal government expenditures now.
Double the size
so
of the federal government.
Something for everybody, folks. Let's open up the piggy bank and give you more.
Well,
doesn't matter who you vote for, you're still voting for somebody who's a spendthrift.
I'm not all that far from retirement age, so this sounds wonderful to me.
Well, the free college part, what about the people who paid off their college debts? I imagine they wouldn't be too thrilled
like
about that.
I worked like a dog to pay off my college. All right.
Had you only known if you had waited to pay back your debt until one of these people were elected, you wouldn't have to pay it back.
One of our listeners sends us a note.
Says, good morning. Did you know if we would raise taxes on gas 2 cents, we would have enough money to fix our infrastructure? Our government knows this, but they're afraid and they will be voted out. Really? Well, the state government did it, and the governor did get voted out.
Well, yeah, but it was the cap on a franchise tax.
Right.
It was muted. Dan, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. Well, Buzz's concern about the national debt is serious. But here's the thing. I think it was at $20 trillion when Trump was elected, and all Trump had to do was not increase any spending, and that still would be self-replicating. It just keeps going up on its own, and the more debt it builds, the faster that debt clock goes. So it wasn't all Trump that created the debt and making more debt. It's self-replicating, and he'd like to get his hands as every Republican get a good grip around the throat of the national debt, but the more it goes up, the harder it is to do. That I will look at that debt clock.
Well, it's only 22.5 now, so he only went up 2 trillion. So it's not like
Dan. What do you do when you find yourself in a hole that keeps getting bigger and bigger and deeper and deeper? You quit digging, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah.
So
and
I mean,
no one. It just goes up. I mean, once it's hit up the 10, I couldn't ever believe it got to 20 trillion. But that debt clock, it. I mean, it goes through $1 million like I go through 20 cents. You can't believe it, and I don't. Trump's trying to get a handle on it, but
how? What's he doing? I don't see him doing anything to get a handle on it. To be honest with you,
increase and get the economy rolling.
But he's saying we have the strongest economy ever, Dan, yet the national debt's still growing. The money he promised to generate for the federal government with his tax cut, it hasn't materialized. At least I don't see it.
Yeah, I think we're just going to have to concede one of his many flaws as he's a tax and spend Republican.
I think he is honestly trying to get a handle on it. Now, it hasn't shown up much yet, but I think if the economy gets revving more, we get these trade deals, I think it will. I don't know if he can. I said if he could get it to go down, and if he could get a hand on that, he deserves a place out in South or North Dakota on the monument, but I don't think he ever will.
Yeah, like Bill Clinton.
I don't think he can. Well, yeah, he might have balanced the budget, but he didn't do anything on the national debt. It still was going up. And that's the way it is with Trump. Even if he could have a balanced budget, which the Democrats aren't going to, they're never going to allow him to do make a balanced budget. You know it, and I know it, as long as they have control.
I disagree with you. I think the Democrats would do it if he increased spending on all the things that, you know, that they wanted. If he agreed to more taxes, I think they'd go along with him if the intent was to balance the budget. But if you just balance the budget, what have you done? I mean, you've cut out. You've got 1 year where you haven't added to the national debt.
Yeah, but that
doesn't mean
clock,
you're paying any of it off.
And that old clock, that old money clock, this keeps winding higher and higher and higher. Even if you balance the budget, it goes crazy. And for one thing, President Trump did for us senior citizens on Social Security, I give him credit for this. He gave us a 2.4 increase last year. When I went, I forget how many years, President Obama didn't give the senior citizens anything as an increase in their Social Security.
Well, let's be fair about that, Dan. That's automatic and pegged to the cost of living. That's not something that President Trump gave us or that Barack Obama took from us.
Yes, but it's due to President Trump's economy. Remember, under Obama, he said, we'd never see an increase in our economy. We might as well get used to the new normal of no increase in factory jobs.
But, Dan, that's not what you're saying. You're saying that that his economy increased the amount of money that you get as a result of Social Security. But if that's the case, it's because he rose the cost of living.
If you increase the economy, you're going to do it's going to work both ways. So,
well, I think it only works one way, Dan. If you spend more money and the cost of living goes up, then the amount of Social Security you get paid goes up.
All right, we're going to take a break. Thank you so much, Dan.
Yep, and thank you, guys. Have a great one.
Thanks for calling in. I may see you Saturday. You just never know. New Berlin Day is this weekend. One of the many, many things happening this weekend. Lewis Stock, Northumberland County Fair, and some other big stuff happening this weekend. We will take a quick break, but we will invite all comers. We're talking about the U.S. economy. economy, the U.S. federal trade or budget deficit, which is, what,
$2.5 trillion? All the free stuff our politicians want to give us.
Right, there we go. That's what we're really discussing, this idea that they got trillions of giveaways lined up. How would free tuition work? I'd like to see how that plan actually works. What would be the point of not going to Harvard or Bucknell if it's free?
Most of them are talking about state schools. Public schools.
They're
not
good.
Talking about forcing Harvard or Yale to give you free tuition.
Bloomsburg's a good school. There's no doubt about that.
No argument.
We need a community college around here, too, so that's another topic. All right, 1-800-795-9565. Give us a buzz. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Joe McGranahan is here, mayor of Shamokin Dam. His honor, his favorite title, though, is Papa at the dinner table. I'm Mark Lawrence, a subpar performer, but super glad to see you on the radio. And Rob Centers, our producer. So we got the dream team back together. Joe rolls his eyes. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 9:41 in the morning. As we mentioned, Joe and I are back together, and we're yakking up a storm. We'd love to hear you involved. We're talking about President Trump's bad fiscal policies.
And those worse ones proposed by some of his opponents.
Right, and the rest of the Democrats, or at least four of the Democrats, the leaders, would borrow. Well, one of those would need a couple trillion dollars in order
to make their plans work.
So tuition.
Rebecca Warren.
Free daycare.
Rebecca Warren, $4 trillion. Pete Buttigieg, $3.8 trillion. Bernie Sanders, $4.3 trillion. I'm sorry, $4.3 trillion from Harris, $4 trillion from Sanders, $3.8 from Warren.
Well, what's the U.S. federal budget right now?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. It's big.
Well, we bring in $3 trillion in revenue each year, but, of course, we know that doesn't... Pay sufficient because we're racking up debt left and right.
Well, you know, I don't understand the reasoning behind all of this stuff that some of the candidates want to give away for free. The president's guilty of this, as I've said. This is an article, by the way, by John Stossel. But you look at all these things the Democrats want to give away, free education.
U.S. federal spending is $4 trillion, right?
$4 trillion. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's the GNP?
Ooh.
Not on there?
It probably is because it has U.S. debt to GDP ratio. But no, I don't see GNP on this. But let me look. There's 90 screens here on this deficit clock.
Well, I mean, I think we have to take some kind of common sense look at where we're going and what we're going to spend.
You don't want GDP, right? You want GNP.
Yeah, the gross national product.
Sorry. Okay. No, that's okay. It's all good. I don't see that one.
Hmm. Well, whatever it is, I mean, a large part of it is going to be eclipsed by debt service. As we keep growing this debt, it's going to take more and more of our annual budget or annual income just to pay the debt service. Somewhere down the line, you got to look at that. You know, we talk about, what was that story a few months ago or a few weeks ago, that a majority of Americans or some large percentage of Americans couldn't afford a $400 emergency.
They'd have to borrow or put it in their credit card.
They would have a problem doing that.
How many people?
I don't remember the exact percentage, but it was a fairly substantial percentage, 30 or 40%, something like that.
Wow.
Couldn't handle a $400 emergency. So, you know, people are forced to live within their limits. And ironically, what I love is the state government here in Pennsylvania, and I think in many parts of the country, maybe all of them, requires municipalities to have a balanced budget. So we're not allowed to float out there and spend money we don't have. We actually have to have a balanced budget, and we can't carry a deficit unless it's in a bond issue or something legitimate that we borrowed for.
Right, but you have to have a visible means to pay it back,
right?
A budget
and a plan
means
to pay it back. But the state and the federal government have no such constrictions. They're allowed to just spend.
The state has balanced budgets. I mean, they do borrow money for bonds and things and legitimate purposes, but the budgets are balanced per se.
Well, they're supposed to be, but they have never, seldom are actually.
The state budget is unbalanced.
Seldom actually balanced. I mean, that's why we get into this rainy day fund and all that other stuff that we have to have money put aside for.
Okay.
But, you know, let's face it, who would win an election if they came out and said, folks, we got to tighten our belts. We've got to stop spending. The things we're spending money on now, we got to cut back on some of that.
Hickenlooper, he was talking about that.
Hickenlooper.
He's the first to drop out.
well, I rest my case.
With no support.
Hickenlooper drops out with no support. But seriously, we do have to look at this. I mean, somewhere down the line, we have to get serious about addressing the long-term financial interests of this country. I worry. I have two wonderful grandsons. I love them dearly, and I hate to think of what we're the debt we're saddling them with.
But you don't worry about the climate. Isn't that ironic?
Mike, I do worry about the climate.
You do not. Mike, you are on the mark. Thanks for calling in.
Morning, man. I was watching the Little League World Series on TV the other night when they had the Major Leaguers on, and Alex Rodriguez was in the booth, and he was doing some broadcasting. And he mentioned something that shocked me, and I think it's very significant if it's true, and I wouldn't think that it's not. He said that the generation coming of age now is going to be the first generation that will have a shorter lifespan than the previous generations.
Well, that is true, and obesity is the reason.
Obesity, drugs, gun violence, I'm going to lay it all on our culture. Okay, I think that this indicator, it would be what they call, you know, leading indicators of our culture, that we're having a shorter lifespan. And I just want to make a correlation here. If you look at the collapse of the Soviet Union, you can go back and look at their lifespans, and alcoholism was the thing that shortened their lifespans. And the same thing happened to them. And I'm not saying the same thing is going to happen in the United States, because I do believe we are different than them. But to me, that is probably the most concerning thing that I've heard, you know, in the last couple of weeks. You know, and there's a lot of bad stuff out there to hear. But the idea that this current generation's lifespan is going to be shorter than the previous ones really, really bothers me. And I just wanted to throw that out there, you know, for your listeners to hear and maybe get a response from them.
But what percent, by what percentage is it going to be less, did he say?
Well, he did not. You know, they were talking baseball at the time. And this came about because they were talking about the kids today. A lot of the athletes are just participating in one sport and trying to do the best they can at that. And then other kids aren't participating at all. And actually, the biggest growing sport right now is this e-sport, you know, basically video games. And he was concerned about the level of exercise that children are getting in the developing years. Mm-hmm. And this statistic came out during that conversation.
That's a good point. Yeah, kids love to play video games. And I don't know how much exercise they get.
It's beyond kids now. That you're seeing the parents playing too, you know. That's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, well, hey, we didn't have stuff like that when I was a kid. Why, back in my day, we had coloring books and crayons.
We went outside.
That's right.
Or we played outside. And we came in when streetlights came on.
I'll never say that I wouldn't be a video gamer if I was growing up today, because you just can't make a comment like that because you don't know. I could be one of those kids sitting on the couch all day if I was growing up today. You don't know. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there, and I appreciate listening to you guys.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks. Can tell you, Mike, their hand-eye coordination is probably better than ours was as kids, simply because they're playing all these video games.
We've got an email and a text.
Dick says, I heard the president report that our citizens are flush with money. Never been better. In the next breath, he wants a tax cut of some kind to get more money to prop up the economy. The thing that doesn't add up to me, personal debt, credit card, and borrowing, is now at the highest level in the history of the country. My question, are we better off, worse, or just treading water? Actually, I think what he was talking about was putting money into a payroll tax, the amount of money that you get deducted off your salary, that would go down.
Okay.
But I don't know. I don't know whether that was long-term. Maybe Dick knows and I don't. But I heard him say that. But I don't know whether that's long-term or just a temporary thing. I think he was talking temporary.
Well, nationally, wages are going up. That's one of the good statistics that comes out on jobless number
right.
day. And so, I mean, it's...
But do you know anybody flush with cash? Well, I mean, I do light my cigars with 20s. I used to do 50s, but, you know, that seemed a little ostentatious.
I know a lot of comfortable people now, you know, but and the economy is a factor, and certainly a bad economy hurts a lot of people.
Sure,
there's no argument about there. Lance, thank you for calling. Stand by. We got to pay some bills, as they say. So we're going to do that. We will be right back. But he's only occupying one line. That leaves others open. 1-800-795-9565. We just read the email that was pending. Oh, the text was just a suggestion that we bring Professor Rosu on the show. He's an expert in all of the areas you're talking about, politics and budgeting. So that's a good idea. All right, 1-800-795-9565. We'll be right back.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Subaru Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. We got a caller standing by, and we did read the email that's there, so we got clear sailing to Lanceville. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to ask you, why do you think that all those mice keep getting caught in all those traps?
Do they want the cheese?
Well, mouse only
that's
gets
right.
caught in a trap
don't
one time.
Exactly what all that free cheese is all about.
Well, the mouse only
well,
gets
remember,
caught in the trap one time. Let's get that out
the
of
second
the way.
Mouse,
yeah,
the
second
Lance,
about.
The second mouse yeah. gets the cheese.
Yeah. Yeah, good point. Hey, this one's dead. I might as well eat it. Oh, boy.
Yeah, yeah. That's bad. Really what it's all about. And they keep being succumbed, you know, to that lure.
So it's not human nature. It's just life nature to seek out a freebie.
It's human gluttony.
Well, anyway, think about if every job paid a good wage, okay? Wouldn't everyone just want to be shoe store clerks?
Right.
I mean, you sit down and you think about it. Where is the incentive then to really take off and do? Because you're going to be the old crawdad syndrome. Somebody tries to get ahead, and you say, oh, what do you want to do that for? And they'll pull you right back down into the bucket. And if you take a look like the Soviet Union, why everybody there, you know, gets the same, no matter if you were the boss or whether you were, you know, the guy out there running the lathe, right? And sooner or later, that has got to do some bad things to a whole lot of people, and it does.
I don't think
either,
that's true anymore.
Either,
no, wait a minute.
Either you're working at this job that does absolutely nothing for you, but you do it because, you know, you get your food and clothes and all that stuff, right? And then you do a lot of drinking just to, you know, kill it.
Knew you'd get the drinking in there somewhere.
Oh, yeah. Well, of course I would. I think that's the reason why our average lifespan has got to be going down. I mean, I just look at the people, you know, that I knew. And, wow, I just had three more of them drop here in the last 6 months. And it's ubiquitous. I mean, the stuff is everywhere. It's got to take its toll, that's for sure. Also, you know, like socialism, I think the greatest definition I ever heard was a fellow by the name of Bizet, who, of course, he was a French economist, and he said, socialism, that great fictitious entity by which everyone seeks to live at the expense of everybody else. That's really what it's all about, isn't it?
We all share equally, voluntarily, helping each other out. In
I like
times
the one that
need.
Says socialism only works until you run out of other people's money to spend.
That's right. And Maggie Thatcher said the whole thing about that. Why, something that was mentioned by the Democratic congressional candidate yet on?
No, State House Representative,
oh, okay.
not
oh,
Congress.
Yeah, okay. Congress, sorry. Sometimes I get my mix all talked up here. And anyway, she mentioned that it was horrible that a shotgun was being sold at the local flea market with a about any kind of, you know, whatever. Well, you know, they really ought to do something about all those knives then. Because last year, shotguns were used in about 260-some murders. And knives were almost 1,600. So you're looking at five times more likely you're going to get stabbed and blasted with a shotgun. Which is kind of interesting. And you take all the long arms, add them together, and double it. You have about the same number of people that are stabbed. So handguns are the big problem. And handguns in Pennsylvania, we do have a, they say it's not a registry, but what they keep is a record of sale. So what's the difference? I don't know. When they got to the Supreme Court, they said this is not a registry. You can go right ahead and do it.
It's a record of sale. Well, and
yeah.
Is it searchable is the key? Can they go back and find out which handgun is was purchased by whom?
Yeah, they can. There's
well,
a
yeah.
Okay, well, then it's a gun registry. We're already stuck. They already
yeah.
got us. They just have to reel us in now.
Uh-huh.
All right. Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call.
Oh, yeah. Also, just one more thing.
Let's register liquor bottles.
Glad to hear from Taylor. We got to get together.
He's around.
For lunch.
Hmm? Okay.
Yeah, we do.
Have a good one.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call. Taylor's occasionally on a podcast, too, called Barnstorming. So you can just search that up in your favorite podcast. And they'll have that. We have email. Yes.
One emailer says, good morning. Did you see Greenland had a funeral for its lost glacier? Why? Did you know Russia stopped radiation detecting stations after a missile blow up? Why? Did you hear we still get oil from the Middle East? We are killing ourselves. That is interesting.
True.
The Russians did stop that monitoring system after their missile blew up.
We don't want factual information. All right, so tomorrow we got open phones. You and I will argue about important topics of the day. You had one in front of us that was kind of a good one.
I just thought it was interesting how much money the candidates wanted to spend. I also thought, I don't know how much it will resonate, but tomorrow the CNN poll came out, as I said, that did show Joe Biden had almost a 2-1 lead over Bernie Sanders and a better than 2-1 lead over Rebecca Warren. Yeah, okay.
No, Rebecca Warren is from Montour County.
Elizabeth Warren. Got the wrong Warren. Joe
has cognitive decline. Yeah, it's finally happened.
Well, it's been rubbing off. You got me yesterday.
Well,
you couldn't remember what question we were on.
I call the president Fred Trump, who's the president of the Fair Board in Bloomsburg.
And I'm referring to Rebecca Warren, who was a candidate for judge in the last state election. But Dr. Jill Biden, I get a kick out of that, said Monday that to consider the electability of her husband, former Vice President Joe Biden, ahead of the 2020 primaries, and how they will have to swallow a little bit with the Democratic frontrunner in order to defeat President Trump. She said, I know that not all of you are committed to my husband, and I respect that, but I want you to think about your candidate and his or her electability, and who's going to win this race. So the question becomes, who do you support? And that was one of the things in the CNN poll we should look at. Do you support someone who can beat Trump or someone who identifies with my positions? Interestingly enough, young people went with my positions. Older people went with somebody to beat Trump.
Oh, interesting. All right. Well, everybody loves the free cheese. Now we have further proof. You're listening to On the Mark. We'll be back with another show in Open Phones. This is WDK, OK, Sunbury.